Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning. Well, Pastor Doug, or if you're visiting with us this morning, first of all, Brian and I are not the pastors. We are pastors, but we're not the pastors. They are at on vacation, actually. They should be in town already, but he just texted me during church to tell me that they are anchored out in the Gulf because of fog. So they are just stuck on the boat sitting out there right now. It's terrible. You're in limbo, but they'll be back soon. So I saw up there Hinton and Thomas Pastor Appreciation, and that's the first time I've seen our names together, Brother Steve. So it's like we could be an act, Hinton and Thomas. You know, we could go on the road. You and Becky, me and Brian, you know. So anyway, well, we're glad that you're here today. Pastor had asked me to bring the message, and I'm always thrilled to do that. But it's always great to have my husband help me out. So we're going to tag team it today. We're going to do it together. And we survived putting the message together without, you know, any major problems. So everything's good. I want to talk about the church. Common sense or God sense? Where are we as a church? You know, we could probably all agree that society has no common sense. Can we pretty much agree? I was in 7-Eleven the other day, and there was a young man in 7-Eleven, and he had his pants down below his bottom with a belt on. And I thought that belt was to keep your pants up, you know? So I was a little puzzled, and then I thought, well, maybe his thinking is if his belt falls below his knees, I might be offended. And he doesn't want to offend me because, you know, don't want to see his knees because he's got those long shorts on, you know? But I'm thinking, son, I'm already offended. Pull your pants up, you know? So there's just things that we think, look out there, and we think this just doesn't make any sense. What are people thinking? Let's go to the first slide there. Look at this sign. Please do not sit on crocodile. You know, this means somebody's done it. Somebody has done it, or they wouldn't have to put the sign up there, right? So, you know, I read something that said common sense is so rare these days, it should be classified as a superpower. Right? Because we so seem to be lacking in it. I looked around my house last night, and I looked at the different, you know, we've all got floor cleaner and dishwashing soap and, you know, all that stuff. The floor cleaner says, do not drink. Like, who wants to go drink their floor cleaner? But it does say that. And I thought, somebody's done it. Somebody's done it. And now the Tide Pods, you've all heard the story, people, right, kids are eating Tide Pods. So now they put these new lids on the Tide container that I can't open, right? So I finally got it open, and I'm not putting that lid back on. I don't have little kids in my house. I'm not afraid anybody's going to get in the Tide Pods. But I can't, hurts my hand to try to open them. So, you know, it's nuts. Let's look at the next sign. Cross only when cars stop. Well, that's a good idea, right? Unlike sometimes my husband thinks, oh, they'll stop for you. You're in a crosswalk. They have to stop. Haven't you told me that? If they hit you, it's their fault. Like, thanks. I'm not sure I want to take that chance. And then here's another one. When flooded, turn around, don't drown. How many times have we seen this sign? But how many times on TV, every time there's a flood, do you see people have driven into the water? So we have to have signs like this. Why? because people don't have common sense. But I will say that there are things in the Bible that don't make sense to us. Can we agree with that? There's things in the Bible that are not common sense. And so I think as a church, we try to put too much common sense sometimes into stuff. And if we put too much common sense into stuff, we can miss God. Because we're leaving out the miraculous when we put too much in it. So we're going to look at four examples of people who didn't use common sense, but who used God sense in the Bible this morning. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. We've got a lot of scripture. Just telling you. So there's going to be a lot of reading today. Sorry. It said, then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. He was obedient. He did what God told him to do. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now she was just looking at the natural. She said, this is all I've got. I don't think she was trying to be negative, but this is all I got. We're going to eat this, and then we're going to die. You know, she's just telling him. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. She was obedient. Didn't make sense, but she did it. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Because of her obedience, the widow and her son were saved. Now, I'm going to tell you, to a mama's heart, that doesn't make sense, to take food from your child's mouth and give it to a stranger when you don't see any way you're going to have any more. She had to believe what Elijah told her. She had to choose to be obedient and to take that hope that what he was saying was true. And I believe when we read scripture, Scripture says the Lord told him, I have prepared a widow in Zarephath. So the Lord had already spoken to her. But sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we think, is that really you, God? Have you ever had that happen? Is that really you? Am I really hearing right? And then Elijah confirmed what I think the Lord had already spoken to her. And she was obedient and she did it. She had to choose to use God sense. So instead of listening to common sense, the widow listened to God. And we have to choose to be obedient even when it doesn't seem like it makes sense. Everybody around you may be telling you, you are crazy. But if you know God told you, go for it, right? Because it's better to look well in the eyes of the Lord than everybody else.
Amen. This next individual we want to talk about is found in the book of Judges. Let's look at Judges 6, 11 through 12. And we're going to be reading a lot as well. Bear with me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. When his son Gideon was thrashing the wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. You have to stop right there, just a little history. Now, these Midianite folk, these guys here, their oppressors were coming and taking everything they had. They couldn't grow stuff because they would come in swarms and take away all their stuff. So we find Gideon hiding, in effect, doing his thrashing. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Keep that in mind, mighty warrior. This is the first time we hear about him. Judges 6:13. It says, pardon me, Lord. Pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but if you are the Lord, is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. So God's come, right? His angel has come. And I kind of guess he had to have some guts here to stand up and say, well, okay, so if you're the God, then why are we having all these issues? And it was because of disobedience from the children of Israel that they were having all the problems. Do we do that today? Lord, if I'm your child, then why am I having all these troubles? Why am I struggling financially? Why am I struggling in my body? If I'm your child, Lord, why is it that I'm having this hard time? So I think he had some guts there, but just for a moment. 14 through 16 says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. The mighty warrior is to go in the strength that you have. I think it's important right there to say that God's not going to ask us to do anything that he has not already equipped us to do. He's either given you something miraculous, he's given you a talent, but he's going to give you something to go in your strength, not someone else's strength. He said to go in your strength and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord. Okay, here's Gideon again. The mighty warrior, right? The one that had the guts to stand up and say, hey, you know, hey, if you're who you are, then why are we having all these problems? He said, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least of my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you and will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. So he's telling him, look, man, I'm the run of the litter. I had to think about David at that time. When Jesse brought all his boys in, right? He brought in all the strong boys. And then he brings in the weakest kid, David. And the weakest turned out to be the strongest. And here's Gideon saying, hey, man, I'm just a weak vessel. You know, who am I? Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. And he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also to Asher, Zerubbabel, Nephi, and so they too went up to meet them. So here's the mighty man of war, right? He's called out for his buddies to come and help him. And sure enough, they show up. They show up in droves. Actually, if you go and look at the scriptures, 32,000 men answered the call to arms. So now, okay, I've got me an army of 32,000 against this much larger army, but at least I've got 32,000, right? But wait. Then the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. What? I'm fixing to go to battle, and you're telling me I have too many men? I can't deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. So they're saying, yeah, we did it with 32,000 guys. So God said, I'll tell you what, go in there and talk to these boys and find out who's scared. Putting it in my terms. He said, go find out who's scared. So he said, anybody that's scared, don't want to be here, frail of heart, whatever, you can go home. And boom, he lost 10,000 men. Or it went down to 10,000. He lost 22,000 men. Now, common sense would say, hey, wait a minute now, you know. Look, I've lost more than half of my forces here. But then what did God say? That's still too many. So he said, I want you to take them down to the brook. And those guys that get down on their hands and knees and drink from the water, they need to go home. The guys that took the water and lapped it in their hands and they're looking around watching what's going on, that's who I'm going to take you with you. So he took this force of 32,000 and he come up with 300 men. We all know that song, right? 300 men that fought with Gideon. We should have sung that this morning, huh? In chapter 7, he says, the Lord said to Gideon, With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets with the others. Gideon and the 300 men, well, actually it was 300 men, but he cut them into thirds, right? He took 100 over here and 100 over there and 100 over here. So he's got 100 guys with him. So Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp, and at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just after they had changed the guard, they blew their trumpets, broke the jars that were in their hands. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position around the camp, the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. So Gideon listened to the angel of the Lord and obeyed the Lord, and the victory was won. What's cool about that is not did they just win, but they didn't even really have to go fight. All they had to do was break a lamp and blow a horn, and these cats started fighting each other, and the Lord helped them, and they prevailed. And as you read on, they just took it to them all the way. So common sense would tell us, hey, I don't need to cut my forces in half, you know. I need as many as I can. And just come to my mind, the scripture, where one or two are gathered in my name, there I am also. So he don't need very many. Really, he just needs you and him. So common sense would say, hey, I need a big force. But because of the God sense, they only needed a few.
We're going to look at Naaman. Now, I'm going to give you the backstory because I don't want to read the whole thing. But Naaman was a commander of the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. So scripture doesn't say anything about Naaman knowing really anything about God, having a relationship with God. He was in this foreign country, and he just was desperate. You have leprosy, your life's over, basically. You have to go to a leper colony. You can't live life as you know it. So Naaman had a little servant girl who had been taken from Israel at some point, and she said, if only my master would go to the prophet, that he could heal him. So this is where we're at. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Naaman was an important guy. And when you're an important person, you want to be treated importantly, right? He wanted to be treated with respect that he felt he was due. And to him, the prophet not coming out and at least speaking to him personally, and then not doing something kind of, you know, magical, was almost an insult to him. So he was upset over that. And he was upset that they had told him to go dip in the Jordan River seven times because he said, there are cleaner rivers where I come from. Why would I come here and go in that dirty thing, you know? So Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Now Naaman received healing due to his obedience, right? He had to choose to be obedient. He did not see the good of it. He didn't see that this was going to come out well at all. But he chose to do it even though it didn't make sense to him. And you know, obedience is the hardest part of what God asks us to do because we so want our way. I mean, I like getting my way. I don't know about you. We all like getting our way. When God asks us to do something, sometimes it's hard, but it's essential for a miracle. You have to be obedient if you want to see a miracle from the Lord. And then Naaman listened to God through the voice of others. It doesn't say God prepared him. It doesn't say God spoke to him. It was his servants that came to him and said, you know, if he asked you to do something hard, you would have done that. So why not do this? So he listened to people who gave him good advice. So he listened to people that probably he normally wouldn't. They were his servants. He may not have normally thought that was, you know, of course he was desperate as well. But he chose to do what God was telling him through the servants.
Amen. This last guy we're going to talk about, he is distinct from the other three. He's a pretty important fella. He didn't question God as to why you're doing this. He didn't say, well, you know, Lord, I don't have enough of this. Or why would I want to go do that? This guy's unique. And we find him in Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every inclination or imagination, depending on the version, the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. That's a bad spot, ain't it? We could almost say that about our world today. And it repented. And I have to stop there because when I looked at different versions, it said it saddened God. Or God regretted that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That it grieved God. And what a sad place to be in if we grieve God. But. There's a big but here. I could sing a song too, but I won't. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And every one of us in here today should say amen. Because if it weren't for Noah, somebody else would have done it, I'm sure. But we wouldn't be here today, right? It all started, or it came from Noah. Noah was righteous. Three characteristics about Noah that kind of set him apart. He was a righteous man. He was blameless in his day, and he walked faithfully with the Lord. That's about, before the flood thing, that's about all we knew about Noah, was that he was a good man. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. We don't read about, well, you know, I don't know how to use a hammer or a nail. You know, I don't know how to cut wood. It's just me and the three boys, right? And the three women, or four women, his wife. We don't know how to do that. He didn't make an excuse why he couldn't do it. He just got to work doing it. Or so the scripture says. It said that he did all that God commanded him, and so he did. So Noah obeyed God, and mankind was saved. Amen? It was pretty important that Noah obeyed. It's possible sometimes that God can use us for things that he wants only us to do. He knows that there are people that I can touch that you can't, and vice versa. And I may be the one, or you may be the one that God wants to use in a situation. But if we balk at it, well, Lord, you know, man, that's embarrassing. I can't, you know, it's kind of tough to talk about them guys, about the Lord at work, you know. What will they think, you know? You know? But the Lord may be calling us to do something that may be challenging in and of itself to us. But just like Gideon, he has equipped us to use what we're supposed to use. So Noah had a relationship with God and heard from him directly. I think that is key right there, to have a relationship with the Lord. If you have a relationship with the Lord, one, he can speak to you. And then when he does speak to you, you'll obey him. Without that relationship, then you're just kind of out there. You're using more of a worldly common sense. Worldly common sense wouldn't say, hey, let's build this big old boat, right? For what? Well, it's going to rain. Well, what's that? You know, where's all these animals you're talking about? You know, I don't see them. Worldly common sense would say that's kind of dumb to build a boat. but godly sense said, you know what? It's going to rain here in a little bit. I don't know what it is, but it's going to rain here in a little bit. And when it does, me and all these other animals are going to be ready to go. Amen?
So in conclusion, hope springs eternal. We're almost done. In conclusion, do you rely on common sense so much that you drown out the voice of the Lord? I want us to really think about that this morning. Because I think a lot of times we as Christians do this to ourselves. We're hurting ourselves in this. And then do you look for confirmation of God's direction or dismiss it as crazy? Are you walking close enough to God that you can hear His instructions? You know, God speaks to us in different ways. Sometimes He speaks to us just through His Word. Sometimes He speaks to us through a TV program. I mean, before I was in the ministry, I was watching a TV program, and there was a lady on there preaching. And I felt the Lord speak to me and say, you're supposed to be doing that. And I thought, okay, that's weird. You know, that's crazy. Where did that come from? I don't even like being in front of people, you know? But the Lord takes care of all that stuff. You know, all of our hang-ups, He takes care of it. But, you know, I was just flipping channels. And I felt the Lord speak to me. He speaks to us in all kinds of ways. So He speaks to us through friends, through music, you know, everything. So God does speak to us. But I believe as a church and as the church, we are the church, not the building. Each one of us individually is the church. We have missed out on miracles in our lives because of our stinking common sense. It has totally messed us up. We have dismissed God's instructions as crazy thoughts. We have not gone and done what we should do. So we're not obedient because when we think it's crazy, right? We don't do it. I woke up this morning at 1:42. And I know it was 1:42 because I looked at the clock. It was 1:42. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I need you to pray for an hour. And I thought, that can't be God. It's 1:42. Right? I want to go back to sleep because I really could. I've been sleeping well, and I thought I could turn over and go right back to sleep. But I felt like God wanted me to pray for an hour. So I don't know about you, but sometimes, and especially if you're kind of groggy, you run out of stuff to say, or you start repeating things over and over, which I didn't want to do those things. So luckily, Brian worked last night, so I didn't have to get totally out of the bed. I could turn the light on, but sat there in the bed, got my iPad, and I started praying, and then I turned to the Psalms, and I started praying some of the Psalms. I prayed for many of you. I was just up praying, you know, and came to a point where I thought, okay, I probably just need to be quiet and see if God speaks to me, you know, because I'm doing all the talking here, and but then I kept talking. Even after I thought that, I just kept talking. And so I glanced down at my iPad, which I had open to Psalm 4:4, and this is what it said. This is how God spoke to me. I was after 2 this morning when this came. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. So I thought, okay, I get the message. I'm supposed to be quiet now. So I sat there, and I just was quiet. I wasn't praying in my head. I wasn't doing anything. And there were like 3 things the Lord said to me. And I wrote them down. I wrote down the date and the time. And I think I'm to share them with you this morning. I wasn't going to share all of it, but I think I am. First of all, He said, be confident in me. Be confident in me. Then He said, I am your rock and your salvation. I will be the salvation of your children. My heart is for all to be saved. And then thirdly, He said, obedience to me is key to seeing miracles in your life. That's not just for me. That's for all of us. And if I hadn't been obedient at 1:42 and been back to sleep by 1:43, I wouldn't have gotten this from the Lord. So it is important to be obedient to the Lord. It's important to hear him and to do what he says to do, even if you don't want to, because everything within me was screaming, no, I don't want to get up and pray. It's the middle of the night. Can I pray tomorrow morning? Right? But I knew God had spoken. So I'm going to ask you again, do you rely on common sense so much that you drown out the voice of the Lord? Do you look for confirmation of God's direction or dismiss it as crazy? And are you walking close enough to God that you can hear his instructions? If you feel like, just everybody just bow your head and close your eyes if you would. If you feel like you need to repent over any of these right here, I want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. There are hands up all over the place. All over the place. Thank you. So I just want to pray a prayer over us all. I want you to talk to the Lord and repent over exactly what part of this you think you have fallen short on, and be determined within yourself that going forward, you're not going to do it anymore. So, Father, we just come before you, Lord, a repentant people. Father, I'm sorry for the times that I have dismissed a thought that has crossed my mind because I just thought it was crazy. And I didn't take the time to even pray to ask if that was you, or to ask for confirmation or any of those things. I just totally dismissed it. So I ask that you forgive me for the times when I have done that. Father, I ask that you help us as a church walk so close to you that we hear your voice, Father. Lord, that we know it's you when you speak to us. Lord, that we would take the time that we need to take to get into your word, that we would take the time we need to take to pray, Father. And I'm not just talking about a help me Jesus prayer. I'm talking about just a how you doing, Lord? Am I doing okay kind of prayer? What do I need to change? What do I need to do different? Speak to me. So, Father, I ask that you just help each one of us, Lord, just to draw closer to you, to make sure that we're obedient in the things you ask us to do. We don't want to miss any more miracles in our lives. We don't want to miss any more miracles as a church body. We want to see the miraculous in our midst. I want to see people healed. I want to see people raised up. I want to see salvations happening. So, Father, I just pray that you would just move in a mighty way, Father. Lord, that you would just help us, Father, to draw closer to you every single day. And, Father, I pray that this message would not go out void, Father, but, Lord, that it would make a difference in our lives. So, Father, I just praise you and I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you bless us as a people. I ask, Father, that you would help us as a church to be obedient in going and knocking doors and doing things that are uncomfortable for us. But Father, we would be obedient to your word, Father, and have our hearts open to what you would have us to do. Father, I ask that you bless every person in this congregation. As we leave this morning, Father, we may leave this building, but we never leave your presence. So, Father, I ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here today.